It's so good to see you tonight. Those of you that are here and those that are online, we do know this, that God, the God
today we
is an awesome God. He's a great God. He's more than anything that we can ever imagine in our lives. Tonight, I believe that God will have an encounter with us to address particular issues in our lives. This evening, we are going to listen to the message that the Lord brought to us last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we were wrapping up, Mama and I were wrapping up our discourse on the questions that we need to ask before we get married. Now, those questions are important because they can be applied to any aspect of life. So if you were going into a partnership as a business, they are necessary patent questions. So you're not asking about other boyfriends or other girlfriends. You may be asking about other business transactions that somebody has made. Did your business fail before? Why did it fail? And what did you do when it failed? Have you ever declared bankruptcy as a business? So there are questions, questions that can be asked differently. So we're going to revisit that tonight. But before we get into that this evening, I want to remind us very simply about the Word of God that we find in the most popular verse in the Bible. And I need not ask what that verse is, because I know that every believer will be able to spit it out just like that. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. One of the things we learned this morning about the Christ, thou art the Christ, was that statement was not just talking about a general statement. It was addressing the very key that caused Jesus Christ to come as a sacrifice. That the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. And so it is about a relationship. In our marriage, it's about sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice, you're not going to have a wholesome relationship. So we tonight are going to just let God speak to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his very best, and it was his only. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight, may God grant to us that which he purposed when he came, to give to us all everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we go to the message, let us pray, and then I want us to bring our best sacrificial offering unto the Lord. I was thinking this morning, or rather, I shared this morning about a young man that gave so sacrificially during the special offering that we had on January the 22nd. And this evening, the Lord reminded me of another sacrificial offering. This sacrificial offering paid for, I will say, about 80% of the carpeting that we have here right now. It was not because this person was a wealthy person. No. Not because this person has an amazing job. No. There is no way that you will expect this person to give so sacrificially. But they did. They gave it. Why? They heard God speak to them. God spoke and said, this is what I want you to give. I wonder why God will speak to that one. Well, because he knew that one will obey the instruction. So many times God doesn't even bother speaking to us about anything that's important because he knows we're going to just simply say no. We're going to carry on in disobedience to his instruction. So he never speaks to us. If God never speaks to you about doing anything, that's an indictment. That means he knows you so well that he knows that if he asks you, you're going to absolutely not follow through and you're going to be disobedient. And God hates disobedience. And so he's not going to set you up for disobedience. Just like I said the other day, God will not disagree with you when you start speaking negatively and speaking death into your life. He will agree with you. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be a liar. So he agrees with you. Today, let us allow God to speak to us. Not for any particular reason, special offering or anything. God, what do you want from me today? And God will honor you by speaking to you. And I tell you this, if you can hear God when it comes to finances, you'll be able to hear God concerning any other thing in your life. Just like that. Just like that. Because that's the most difficult place for humans to hear. If you want to hear God, listen to him. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings and we thank you, Lord, for the abundance of grace released into our lives today. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the miracles that are about to happen in our lives, in our relationships, for the restoration that is going to take place. Lord, O God, for those things that we are going to be delivered and set free from, for those things that you're going to separate out of our lives, and for those things that you're going to add and multiply in our lives. We give you praise for all things, and we say yes and amen to your perfect will. Let grace abound. Let peace garrison every heart. Let favor rest upon every life. Let every satanic agenda be canceled and eradicated. Let your light shine brightly and flush out everything that is hiding, that is sabotaging the purposes that you have for our lives. We say no to Satan and his ways, and we say yes to your word, to your truth, to your person. Thank you for your loving kindness and peace. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for just pouring richly upon each one of us, even now, the grace of the Holy Spirit. We receive it. Holy Spirit, fill us through and through and cause us to remember those things that our Father has already bestowed upon our lives. We are established in grace and we therefore prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Come, honor the Lord with your giving. And as you do so, whether you're doing it by e-transfer or you're coming in now and releasing that special offering, know that God multiplies your seed sown. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Now join me and Mama as we now begin to declare the word of the Lord. Actually, before we do that, be reminded once again about the special meetings coming up in just a few weeks, on the 15th and the 16th of this month, or rather the 16th and 17th rather, 16th and 17th of March, we are going to have what we have captioned by the leading of the Holy Spirit, your turn around experience. That's what you're going to experience in God. A change, a turnaround. Hallelujah. Just like a ball that has hit the ground that rebounds, so God is rebounding you. There's a resilience in your spirit right this very moment. And come, let us experience God together and have a testimony to the glory of God. And do not forget, March is your month, my month of victory. Praise God. Let us hear the word of God together right now. Join you, Mama and I, as we teach the word. Discuss on this table talk. And have you enjoyed it? Amen. Praise God. We want to look at an aspect before you say the I do's. Before the I do's, there are questions that need to be asked. And we want to look at some questions today. I encourage you strongly to please get the book. Have a copy for yourself.
And his book.
Yeah. Rings of Covenant. Get your copy. The certain questions that we need to ask. And even if you're married already, maybe you can still ask these questions so that you can address certain things. It will bring you to a place of better understanding. First question I believe that we need to ask, if you are going to be dating, and to me, you can fellowship with people, but I think that you need to use that word dating very sparingly. Now, the reason I say use it very sparingly, because I do believe that dating has to do with dating, setting a date. And anything between you and a future partner has to be just fellowship. And that means that in fellowshipping, you don't set yourself up unnecessarily. Now, if you are going to be fellowshipping, that means that it doesn't necessarily just have to be the two of you, but that you can bring somebody else who can watch how things are happening between you, how things are relating between you and this particular person, so that there's an understanding, and maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, and you sit together, you're chowing down at McDonald's, and while you're doing all of that, there is an understanding as the third person is watching to see how both of you are relating. Now, that is my perspective, because I find it to be a safe way, because you are not setting yourself up and chemically getting involved, and before you know it, you are in a situation that you did not plan on. Now, as you're moving closer, the question is, tell me about yourself. Who are you? Where did you come from? What's your birthday? You want to know this person. How were you raised?
You come from a broken family. You have both parents. Where did you go to school? What happened? These are pertinent questions because, you see, what that does when you ask that particular question is that it flushes out a whole lot of stuff that you may not know about that will be necessary. And you're asking these questions not just for information, but to find out the truthworthiness of that particular person. Because this particular question you're going to ask, and every question we're going to ask, we're going to present to you today, you're going to ask in different ways. The reality is this, that when you're telling the truth, you don't have to remember it. When you're telling a lie, you have to remember the lie you told. Hello? If the person is lying to you, ask them that same question next week. The lie is going to come through. Don't confront them right away. Shelve it. Ask another one. And if the story keeps on changing, find out why. Because sometimes someone may tell you something and it's the truth, but they missed on something else that they now repeated, and maybe they're still telling the truth, but in the process of asking questions. It's called communication. Yeah? You won't come to the truth of the matter. Tell me about yourself. Do you know your spouse? Do you know the person that you dated? Young people, I hope you're listening, because I wish somebody told me all of this stuff growing up. Thank God that God chose Mama for me. But nobody told me I had these questions that I need to ask. Ask the question. Go on, Mama.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You finish all your spiel?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They were all good spiel, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, as of dating, it's better not to practice dating. You can go out with your, this is for those who are not married. But even after you're married, you can still date.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you should have a date night when you're married. You know, keep one day of the week where everybody's busy, but create that time for you and your spouse. Be a family day. You know, if you don't maintain that, you're going to have problems later. So you can be a believer and get so busy and forget about how you started. Now, back to those who are not married, you know, you can get to do the planning of knowing one another, but do it in public places. Do it in your family home or do it in restaurants. But these days in restaurants, you can be there. You wonder whether they went to eat or is they eating their lips. You're not sure, so... But if you play with that kind of a game, you know, hormones are at work, so you are not going to be able to maintain that. You are going to do what you're not supposed to be doing. So spend the time really knowing each other. Talk about yourself. Talk about your family, you know. Don't start talking about all the evil thing that's happening in your family overnight, or you scare that person out of the way, you know, but just get to know each other. But you're not there to keep secret, but limit conversations. Your first conversation, you know, say, oh, in my family, you know, there are 5 people who have mental sickness. There are 10 people who have cancer. There are 20 people who have tuberculosis. You start with that kind of, forget it, that person is crammed out of there. So talk about just yourself, because yes, you came from a family, but you are not your family. You're still an individual.
Yes.
Deal with yourself to start with. Get to know each other. So that kind of dating is okay.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's the dating about discovering the body and the body parts, then that is lost. You will not get the result that you're looking for. Now, as for questions, you have to find out from the beginning what the person likes, their likes and dislikes. There are just some things that some people will not tolerate. There are some things I will not tolerate, and there are some things he will not tolerate. But it's better to discover those things before you got married. When you are already in the marriage, it's too late. You can't get out of it. You're in a covenant marriage. We are talking to believers now. Because believers are beginning to have a lot of problems in their relationship and in their marriage. You got to create time. You create time to talk to one another. Yes, you are busy. You know you have so many things to accomplish in a day, but create that time. When there is no time given, it creates bigger problems. Disrespect and dishonor will come in. Mm-hmm. So you need to deal with all those issues. But from discovering and talking to one another, you're going to find out how that person thinks or reason. So when you are getting in, you know what you are getting. You saw the sign of, can I live with this or can I not live with this? Only you can answer that for yourself. So if you are seeing things in your to-be spouse that you cannot live with, it's better you talk about it. And if there is no change, then that person is not going to change. You either accept them or get ready for issues that you're going to deal with for a long time. And sometimes those issues might never go away. So you really need to, I know they say love is blind, but don't be blind to things like that. Be aware of it and talk about it.
Yeah, that's crucial. Now, people like certain things and don't like certain things. But things that you may not like come in degrees. So, in that sense, you want to determine whether or not you can live with certain things that you don't like that that person has. For example, as a person, has anybody ever accused you of snoring?
Jeez, I forgot to ask that one.
Well, that it seems like a very little issue, but it can be a serious issue, right? And the thing about snorers is that they don't know that they're snoring. That's why I say, has anybody accused you of snoring? So, now, if you know you cannot tolerate snoring, then, but you like the person, then you have to find another solution. Nothing stops you from being in two bedrooms. So, snorer, you can sleep in that bedroom. When we need to do our thing, we can come together. I know you'll not be snoring then. But sleep time, snoring over there. That means you have to have the courage for that kind of a situation. That makes sense? So that's something that you may be able to live with, but you have to find a solution for. If you can live with certain things, find out what the solution is. You have to tolerate it. You have to accept it. That means don't go to war about it when you know that that is an issue. You don't like it, but you still want that relationship. That's something that you can live with. Okay, I can live with that. You're eating and the person's fork or spoon is always scratching the plate, and that drives you up the wall. Okay, make a decision. Do I love this person enough to block my hearing when they're scratching the plate or not? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that the things that you can live with sometimes are things that challenge you, but you're going to make a decision. This relationship is more important to me than that annoyance.
You have to pick and choose which battles you want to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, you talk about the snoring. Most young couples that are married, they might not even know their spouse snore. That's not something you tested out. There's no way of knowing that. So you're married, so that happens. Well, before the pot belly shows up, there was no snoring, but then the pot belly showed up and there was snoring, you know, or gain weight. Both men and women snore, you know. So that is not something that should break a marriage or something that will destroy a marriage. There are solutions, you know. You're talking about issues, like things like adultery. You're married and you're busy fornicating around. So those type of things you should establish from the beginning. I will not tolerate a cheater. The day you cheat, there's the boot. Get moving and don't come back. So, you know.
Hit
the road and don't come back. You know, now there are some people who are able to forgive that. But then you might be married to somebody who's not willing to forgive that. You can forgive. God said he hates adultery. And also he hates divorce. So he said, let nobody put asunder. So you really need to deal with the areas where God says he hates. So look for those things. That's why if you're a believer, do your homework. What are the things God accepts and what doesn't he accept? Because don't be looking for exit. You're married and then problems shows up. You're looking for the exit door. So if your eyes are on the exit door, the exit will be standing in front of you all the time.
Yeah.
So the marriage is not going to go anywhere. You start struggling. But it takes years to get to know one another. So even after the I do's, there are many things you're going to discover about each other. So pick, is this worth me fighting for this family? Or is this worth me leaving this family? So you have to choose to fight. There are some things that you will not.
Those challenges.
Yeah, so let that person know, I will not like this. Or some people, you know, there might be other things they like to do. If they have, you have to ask questions. Do you have debt? Are you owing money?
Yeah.
You don't just say, oh, well, so love is blind, so I don't see the debt. No, talk about, do you have a debt? Do you have a student loan? Do you have other debts that I'm not aware of? Maybe they bought a vehicle that they were young. They needed a sport car, so they went to pay. I don't know how much sport cars are, maybe $50,000. And you're just starting a life. You're not going to be able. So that debt is coming into one pot. So you need to discuss that. And then if you're able to tolerate that, then have a plan of how you're going to get rid of that debt.
Yeah.
Before you get into any new project together.
Yeah, and it's important when talking about debts, find out how that debt came about.
Yeah.
If this person is frivolous and just somebody that just wants to buy, and stuff like that, you know you've got a pattern. This person is a shopaholic. You must ask yourself this question, am I willing to live with this? You know, this person just comes and buys all kinds of stuff. you know, because they like this and they like that. There's no plan, there's no strategy. They just, you know, all over the place. You know, oh, there's a sale. If the guy or the gal is always seeing sale, sale, tell that person, I'm not getting married to Sale. You know who Sale is? S-A-L-E, sale. Okay. Because that is big time trouble right there. There's, you know, not everybody has a budget, but you cannot be attracted to this and attracted to that, attracted to this, because bottom line to that attraction, to everything that seems to be easier or sale, that mindset, that pattern can follow through into other areas of life. This person is easy. And before you know it, there's adultery. No, there's got to be principle. Be principled. Look at that person and see if this person is principled. Let me say something here. There's a man, he has a son. I want you to honestly look in here and tell me what your answer is. Because we're talking about principles here. He has a son. And the son went and stole something. And the cops caught him. And the man is told that he has to pay $2,000 to reimburse the person that the son stole from. Are you with me so far? So they go, and the father pays the man that the son stole from. And they're going home, and the father says to the son, I don't want to ever hear that you stole anything from anybody ever again. If you do that, you're definitely going to be handed over to the police and you're going to be in jail. And the son says, Dad, don't worry about it. So what do you mean, don't worry about it? He said, you see the guy that you paid the $2,000 to? I got the money. It's right here in my pocket. You're the father. Do you say, give me that money, and you put it in your pocket? Do you go back to the man that you gave the money to and said, my son stole the money that I just gave to you. Here it is. Or do you keep the money? I know I'm not going to ask. I'm just asking the question. I didn't say, tell me your answer. But that tells me, that explains deep within you whether you are principled about stealing. That makes sense? Because if you're principled about not stealing, you return the money. But if you're not principled about stealing, as long as it doesn't affect you negatively, you keep the money. And still tell the boy, I don't want you stealing. That makes sense? Okay. So, you've got to find out how principled you are. And if you find that you're not principled in yourself, then you need to discipline yourself to come to that place where you're principled about what you believe. You need to know what you believe, why you believe it, even though that belief may cost you something. For that father, it was going to cost him $2,000 if he goes back. Make sense? Okay. So find out how principled you are. Find out how principled they are. Because being principled is going to determine whether you are going to handle your debt situation properly. There are people who go into debt and just think, well, I'll just declare bankruptcy. Bye. It's gone 7 years. And then I start again.
So ask questions.
Ask questions.
Ask questions and check. So you see, so those dating times are times of knowing these things and learning about one another. Because just going, oh, we're getting married and that's it. And then all these things show up later. What's going to happen? You begin to develop disrespect, dishonor, and then a little bit of a drop of hatred begins to come in, and the marriage gets sour and gets destroyed. So what happened? You open the door wide for the thief, which is the devil, to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy because you did not do your homework. Like I said earlier, if you do not do your homework, kids who go to school and do not do homework, what happened to those kids?
They fail.
So is marriage. Everything in life, you will succeed if you do your homework. If you do not do your homework, you will fail. So we will not be in a failed
Amen.
State.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you already made the mistake and you did not do all this homework, is there a way out? Yes, there's a way out. It's called stop. Stop. Stop the madness. Stop spending the money. If you don't have money, don't spend it. Don't depend on credit cards. Somebody should be saying amen.
Amen.
But nobody said amen. Because you've been well trained to use credit cards. You can use it for basic. You know, have a basic, but it should not be your source. You should pray to have what you have you can use, you know, and you can get out of debt. So eradicate the debt, eradicate it. You know, the mission now is we're in it. So if you're already in the boat in the middle of the ocean, you're not going to get up except you have the faith of Jesus and Jesus is there with you like Peter and say, let's walk on the water and go. You're already there. You can't walk off. You can't say, I'm out of this boat. Well, the first person to drown is going to be you that got out of the boat. So be patient. Stay in the boat and walk out solutions. Walk out solutions. There are solutions. And God's word is full of solutions.
Amen.
Amen. He makes a way where there is no way. But if we make mistake, he can have mercy on us and deliver us from it. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, there's some few more questions we have here. You know the one, we can talk about, this one? All right. Talking about relationship. Did you have relationship before? That's the one you want me to also point on that.
We skipped that one.
You know, talk about relationship, if they have prior relationship. I thought we talked about that before, to ask for forgiveness, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did I not mention that before? All right, I'll just talk about it briefly, since he pointed out I should talk about that. You know, talk about past relationship. There are some people who are very wild. Some people are very, I don't know how they were brought up in their family. In some families, anything goes. In some families, they are super strict. And in some family, you know, you never know what a child is doing behind your back. They might look sweet, but they might be exploring. So if they've had, like, so many relationships in the past, you know, you can ask those questions. Because when you discover later, some people hold that against them. Say, well, I thought we did talk about this. We talked about issue of trust.
Yeah,
you know, so,
yeah, we did last week.
Yes. So if you have spent but ask each other that question so you can be able to forgive one another. And if you can't forgive, then move on. Because when you have a fight in the future, in the marriage, you don't want somebody bringing your past and putting it on your face over and over. The past that God has forgiven you, they bring it to your face and begin to call the things that are already gone as though they are now. So you cannot build anything new if that is happening. So it's a matter of saying, if you had boyfriends before, I don't know if you should be calling names. You can just say, I had so many boyfriends before. You know, and if you have so many girlfriends before, I had so many girlfriends before. But that was before you were saved. Or that was before you didn't know the Lord. Or you're not walking or dedicated to the Lord. So you can. You've already asked God to forgive. You can tell your spouse. But starting now, I'm not that kind of a person. So you must observe that person. See how they react when you are dating or you are with them. Do they have shifty eyes? Anything that runs a miniskirt that goes by, they're talking to you, but all of a sudden it's like, huh? Already, they are not free from that yet. They are still practicing lust. You know, if you see any nice dude with biceps going back, it's like, they are not free. So by being together that way, you can observe and see if they are free.
During that early stage of fellowshipping, that's your time of observing.
Yes.
Don't get overwhelmed by the person right there and miss out on all of the non-verbal
communication
that's happening around you. Mm-hmm. Don't make a judgment based on that, but watch. If it's piling up, you know you've got a situation. But part of the reason we need to look at this one a little bit closely, other than the issue of iniquity, is to find out, okay, so you had previous relationships, you were dating somebody, and what happened? You want to deal with the issue of commitment. Is this person somebody that has a commitment issue? So you ask the question, what happened? Why did you break up? And you want to find out the bottom line to that. And while you're asking that question, you ask the question, how did you break up? You know, if you're dating somebody or relating with somebody, and the person that you've been talking to day and night, whatever, on the phone, and you're going out for lunch, for dinner, whatever, and you broke up by sending them a text message, I'm not going to see you anymore. That's a sign of disrespect right there. Take note of it. Because whatever it is they have been practicing, just take note of it and see if there's any more showing up of disrespect in other things that you see. Because that's what you're getting married to. Disrespect. Somebody who's not going to respect boundaries, relationships, commitments, and so on and so forth. That's an issue. You want to ask that question and find out how they are reacting based on the name of that person. If they are still angry about that relationship, they are not over it. Let me say that again. If they're still angry about that relationship, they are not over it. If you commit yourself to that guy or to that girl, know there's a third person in the relationship. And whenever they remember that person, all that anger is going to be poured on you. Make certain that they are over that relationship before you get into a relationship with them.
Yeah, the reason you need to make sure that relationship is over, so there's something called projection. So anytime you display any little character that's similar to that person, their problem is now laid on you. So that becomes the eye they use in looking at you in everything. So they'll never see anything you do from then on is not good enough. So you need to make sure those things are completely dealt with and is completely cut off. You know, if the relationship is over, it's over. There's no point talking about it, or otherwise the person will start showing up in your dreams, showing up in everything you do. Maybe you're fighting, you start calling the old name. Or just talking, and then you call that person. When such things happen, you're already in it, forgive the person. But if it continues, you have a problem. And if you cannot solve it, that's where you have your pastors. You can go for help. You can go and get help. And when there's no help, remember, if you are saved, you are already in a covenant relationship. There is no way out. The way out is still death to your path. Mm-hmm. All right? So now, but do solve issues before you get in. You won't be able to solve all of it. Every human being have an issue that they are still called work in progress. You're still in progress. You're not completely out of that. So there must be room for grace. There must be room for forgiveness. Mercy. There must leave room for error and change, because you also need that grace and you need that help. But dealing with the past, so if the old boyfriend is gone, don't be calling your old boyfriend or texting or writing. That is just not acceptable. Same with boyfriend or girlfriend, vice versa. If that relationship is over, it is over. Do not make contact with that.
Yeah.
In your vows, say forsaking all others.
Yeah.
That's said in your vows. Forsaking all others means forsake all others. They're gone. That's your past. You cannot live in yesterday. Yesterday is gone. You are living in the now. You live in now and you look forward to tomorrow. So yesterday that is gone forever. You can't walk, you can't get in. You can never get back in your yesterday. The only person who can get in your yesterday is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's not controlled by time. He's not controlled by seconds or minutes or days or seasons. He is the God of now. He is in the moment. So your yesterday is still now in him. So he can deal with that. But you cannot be in your yesterday. So let go of all yesterday. All past errors, let go. But the new now, make the right decisions.
Man.
You know, make the right decision. That's why. Where do we make decisions from? From our mind. We make decisions from our soul realm. We make it from our will. So you cannot make emotional decisions based on your worldly realm. You must take the mind of Christ, so that mind of Christ will filter through your mind. Then you can see clearly and make the right decisions. And when you make that decisions, ease and peace come to your home. Your home will not be absent of problem. Problem will be there, but that peace of God is there. So that's what you're going for. Is this person really saved? That's your most important foundation. Yeah. If they are saved, you have a workable thing. If they are not saved, it's two worlds crashing.
Yeah, the lordship of Jesus has to be very present. The fear of God has to be very present, because ultimately he is the umpire in the relationship. That's the person you can, you know, if God's word says it, whether I like it or not, I'm going to honor that and obey that. That's a place of safety, ultimately. Yes. Well,
can I talk about finance?
Yes.
So quickly,
yeah.
Time is running. So we'll talk about finance. The finance part. When you're married, should you put your finances together or should you separate them? We always encourage put it together, talk about it, that you're going to have one pot. But we always encourage also have something that you come together with your budget on how each other should have their individual amount. So people like to have control of something. You know, you've been working, you're working towards something, you need to have something that is yours that you can just make decision, but that's not the bulk of your finance together. Mm-hmm. It's just a percentage that two of you have agreed that this is your free money, you do whatever you like to do with it, you know. You don't have to account to me about it. I don't have to account to you about it. That brings peace to a marriage. But if somebody says, bring all the money, you work all the money, give all the pot to me, I'm going to control it. Oh my goodness, it never works.
No.
It never works. So so find a way to deal with that.
Yeah, that's important. Everybody, you know, while you have a common pot where you deal with all of the issues, and this is one way. But what should be customary, whatever it is that you do, is that she needs to have her own money. I need to have my own money, whether it's 10% of the pool of resources, so that if I want to buy something for her, I can buy something for her. And she wants to buy something for me, of course, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's important to have your own cash.
Yes. We also encourage investment. So make your decisions. Have investment. Make that decision together. When you want to buy big item, one person should not just go and say, I'm going to go buy a big item. For instance, you want to buy a house, you just come home one day and say, oh, I bought a house. Maybe your spouse don't like that kind of a house. Don't make those type of decisions. I'm going to buy a vehicle. Here's a new car. No.
That's how I was raised, and that's what I did. The very first car that we got, I think, was a pony.
I forgot it immediately. A pony. So.
I went with one of our friends, went to the Chevrolet place and bought this pony, that's what we could afford, you know, and drove it home and said, we got a car. Because that's what I saw my dad do, you know. So I carried my Nigerian mentality over here and found out doesn't work that way.
Yes. I'm also Nigerian, but I don't put up with things like that. So I didn't even remember the name of the car.
That was a pony.
So no. So don't do things like that. Well, we are still together 41 years later plus. So praise the Lord. Yeah, so praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, just make sure, you see, that's why from all those type of experience you find, discuss things so you don't have to. So most of the things we are talking about, we have lived through them, and we want you to get it easy, discuss these things. You know, don't go get in debt and then bring that, because you both have one name. A good name is better than what? Than gold, than riches. So put your name. It's one family name. So work on that. Work on these issues. Talk about it. So big items, talk about them before you go get it. You know, like little items. You want to get diaper for kids. You don't go and say, oh, can we buy diaper for kids? No, you don't need to take permission to buy diapers. Go buy the diaper. The baby needs the diaper. So have a budget for your household. This is general. This is what we use for paying our house. This is what we use for paying our car. Two of you. You don't ask other people's opinion, because it's two of you that is living in that marriage. So two of you have to make that decision together. You don't go and ask your dad or your mom or your uncle or whatever, you know. It is two of you. They don't live with you. You're going to live in it. So two of you must have that discussion. Amen? So, and if you have a spending,
habit?
Spending habit, yes. Spending habit, you need to ask God to help you and deliver you from it, you know. But if you know that you're not going to use a credit card to do it, that will just kill the spending habit, because you need to have, so if you are a spender, you have the spending, what they do in the store. Now these days, you just stick it
you
in.
Just tap.
Yeah, you just tap it, you know, but they used to, it used to be swipe. Like this, swipe, you know, so, yes. So if you have a swiping hand, you know, and you have a sticking hand, so just leave that thing at home. Don't take it with you when you go to the store. Say amen.
Amen.
So start retraining, renew your mind. It takes 21 days to get rid of a bad habit. So it's changeable. Praise the Lord.
May I just make this comment here in relationship to that? It's always a wise thing. I know there are times when you can miss a good opportunity by waiting. But pray for discernment. Ask God for discernment. Sometimes it's not good to buy something just when you saw it. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. And then come back to it. You may find out sometimes that what looked so nice the first time you saw it, it's not worth it. And you'll be able to walk away further and further away from it. And there is something I'd like you to talk about. It's something that I need to still grow in. But talk about how to deal with your finances using your five fingers.
All right. Five fingers. Okay, I teach my family and grandchildren this, you know, so I guess you're my family too, so you get to know this today, so praise the Lord. So I do the five fingers, so everybody go like this, five, you know, so I go 20%, I say God, that means tithe anything you want to do with God, 20% of your income, you know. That means you're tight, you're offering. If you're giving gifts, you're doing whatever. So 20%. 20% I say, pay yourself. Because you're earning the income. So 20% you pay yourself. 20% goes for your investment. Investment. Then you have 40% left. That 40% is what you're going to use to pay for everything. So whether you're paying for your house, your car, your food, your entertainment, whatever, your travel, all that is going to come with that 40%.
Now, not
so budget
yeah.
within that. So it's called sew your coat according to your size. So if the Joneses, their budget is already 40% for the Joneses, can do so many things for them. You don't do that. You know how much. Your coat is 40%. And sometimes you find you will not finish that 40% if you take a good look at it. But you must invest in something that's for yourself. Some of us did not start early, but some of us, now that you can start. You can start your children with that. Say, how do you start with that? The little boy gets $20. So break it down to 20% level so they can start. So they start learning money management. You know, if I go and visit most places where I visit where there are children, or because when we're growing up, that's happened to us. When my uncles and auntie come, they always gave us money. So I got used to always having money. I've never lacked. Not because I had lots, but you put that. And I started trading and doing business from the age of 7. So I can manage money. Even though I'm here, I still manage money. I still do things in different places to get an income. I'm not going to stay naked, you know. So you can do some stuff with the little you have. You can manage what you have. But let God be the one that teaches you. But when you do that 20-20, when we say 20, God, somebody say, wow, okay, if you can't do 20, start with 10, you know. But 10 is already his. So you have another 10. You must learn to give. Is that extra 10 where you are giving from that is bringing that blessing back to you? That is where you buy without money. That's where when something costs hundreds of thousands, it's not costing you that way. That's where favor comes into your life. So you must practice that. If you are this tight-fisted person, you're always going to remain on what you have. But if you surrender some things to God, God will always bring the blessing to you. We can be on our home right now, and then somebody will just think about us. Like yesterday, somebody just went to buy us some stuff that we needed that could cost so much and brought it and delivered. You know, so doing that, you know, we both constantly give. But sometimes you begin to hear God telling you certain things to do. So it never depends on your own income. So I do it one more time. I was saying it. Actually, I saw a few people writing. Some of you is like, I don't need to do this. It's never too late for you. Start with your own grandchildren. Teach them about money management. There's a certain people that have been doing this and has been prosperous for them.
Yeah. If, you know, God for sure, 20%, you know, for giving to God and just giving, period. If you can, if what you have, that other 80% can't accomplish everything, even if you have to do 5% or 10% for your investment and because you have whatever bills, plan on doing something. Just work on something and see God bring you to that place of increase. Because there are people, believe it or not, they are living on 1% of their income. Yeah? And they're not living small. A lot of times we buy things that we really don't need. It's not necessary. You know, if I didn't have this, would my life fall apart? So think about that. Because ultimately...
Yes, you can't compare yourself to other people. You don't know how they are getting what they are getting and how things are coming to them. For instance, if you look at the way we're both dressed here, you can go shop. I don't shop at the same level as other people shop. I shop God's system. You know, so if you see me say, oh, Pastor, I have that, I'm going to go do that. No, I don't spend my money that way. I spend it different. You know, the clothing me and Apostle is wearing, this is $20 I paid. So now other people might pay $100, but I don't pay at that level. Okay, so you cannot go and say, oh, let me go buy new clothes all the time and do all of that. No, the job we do, we can't wear the same uniform all the time. So you don't need to go start wearing new clothes all the time. If I'm sitting there with you two, I wear my old stuff. You know, if you meet me at my house, I'm just casual. I'm not a jeans girl, but I have few jeans. So praise the Lord. You know, but I do casual. I wear boo-boo, you know. and be just okay, you know. You can wear sportswear. You don't need to go and start spending money on all of that. Because we have to be presentable. We're not just talking to you. We're talking to the world, you know. It will be different, you know. Otherwise, I'll come here too without makeup. At home, I don't wear makeup, so... I'm just like normal. You come to my house, you don't see me wearing earrings or anything. It's just like regular folks, you know. So you might be even shocked. So, oh, I didn't know Pastor have dark circles. Well, welcome to the world. I'm not the spring chicken. So praise the Lord, you know. Well, praise the Lord, you know. I wear lipsticks at home. Well, mind you, when my children were younger, I used to. So I think I changed in the last maybe not up to 10 years that I don't really care, you know. But before I'll get up in the morning, I'll dress up head to toe, and the kids will say, Mom, where are you going? I say, nowhere. So I wear high heels in the house. So that's all. Because you still have to be presentable. So for young, talking about young bride and groom, you know, especially the bride, when you were dating, you presented yourself nice. Now that you are married, don't become a slob in the house. Men are still visual. So you're a mommy now, you don't have to wear sweatpants all day. No, he still likes to see you look presentable. Men are visual. They like to see nice things. When Adam saw Eve, he knew, right? He said, whoa! Probably went, whoa! Then became woman. So, you know, you got to be that in your own house. Say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Okay. Let's wrap this up with where we started. God made the woman as a helpmate fit. So it's important that if you are going to be committed in a relationship, that you know as best as you can what the vision is. As for the vision, you want to be married to me. What is your plan? How do you see life going? What do you see? And this person is all over the place, no sense of direction. Well, if you connect with that, you will also have no sense of direction. Men, many times, don't grow up as fast as women, I find. So sometimes, if you're going to be like Mama used to say to Papa, he might be the head, but I'm the neck that turns the head. From all of the questions you've been asking, ask the question, are you good at this? Do you like this? Do you like that? Tilt his head until he says, oh, I like that. Is that what you like to do? Yeah, I'll help you with that. But if there's no vision, no sense of direction, the relationship is not going to work, ultimately. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge, and they perish without vision. And the thing about it is that if there is vision and there are no administrators of the vision, it all falls apart. For example, we had a vision for the screen, for all of this. Guess what? Not one thing would have happened. Not one thing would have been accomplished without administrators of the vision. But you have to have vision. Help that man have vision. Help him grow up to have vision. When I got married to Mama, my vision sharpened. Prior to that, I remember it so well. I was in California. My dad sent me about $20. By the time the month was over, $20,000. By the time the month was over, I was asking for more money. I'd blown it just like that. Totally immature. You know, I was saying to somebody the other day that growing up, I would have celebrated COVID. No school. Hey, no school. Amazing. Ooh, wow. Holidays for 2 years. That would be me. That was absolutely me, not jiving. I didn't have any sense of, you know, you're going to grow up and you're going to have your own house and you're going to have your own children. None of that. And there are lots of young men that have no clue. They just want a kiss, some sex, some whatever, and they have no sense of direction. It's your role. Come alongside and help that man have direction. Today I have direction. I have a sense of purpose. This is what I know God wants me to do. But I have to grow to it. And people grow up. But make sure that if you notice that the person is not grown up yet, that you help them grow up. And the greatest work parents need to do is not just send that kid to school, is to teach them about responsibility, having a sense of future. That's the best thing you can do for your child. And having done that, if they decide to do their own thing, that's their decision. But raise them up in the way they ought to go. And even if they might stray, they'll come back to it. At some point, they'll come back. They know how you raise them. So believe God for breakthroughs for them. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
So it is well. We can't cover everything. We just touched a little. So it's just a little scratch to get the books. We didn't even talk up to maybe 10% of what's in the book. So you need to get that for yourself and get more. And it is well. It's not too late to have a happy home. It's not too late to have a peaceful home. We can make a decision. You know, love is a decision. Decide to love, and love never fails.
Amen.
So we're not talking about all the emotional kind of love. We're talking about God's kind of love. God's love builds. So in a marriage, we build together.
Yes.
You know, God's love believe. You believe in one another. You know, if they're not doing well now, they will do well tomorrow. Some people want instant success. Walk towards your success. Ask how much have you invested in. You know, it's input equals output. So what you put into it is what you're going to harvest out of it. So put in. And everything with God has to do with sacrifice. Say, bring me sacrifice of praise. He doesn't want casual praise. God eats sacrifice. I was telling someone yesterday, God does not eat regular. He eats sacrifice. That's what he enjoys. You want to do anything for God, sacrifice of praise. You bring the praise, it has to be a sacrifice of praise. You want to give an offering, sacrifice. He said, I don't eat goats and cows and all the other stuff. I eat sacrifice. So give him what he wants. In a marriage, that's also, your marriage needs sacrifice. You know, prefer one another. That's what the Bible says. Don't put yourself as the number one. Put the other person as the number one. And that other person putting you as number one. Then you can get along better. The Bible says preferring one another. So preference. Prefer that person to yourself. So it's that sacrifice. But if you prefer everything is me, myself, and I, you have that attitude in a marriage, then somebody's going to be unhappy, and then they're going to sabotage. That's being in that boat, in that middle of the ocean. They might wiggle it, and two of you go drowning. So you need to sacrifice for one another. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Prayer is important. Church, you know, we come to church, we pray. This is just general assembly. The most important is what you do behind. You got to seek God. Seek God, and God will show you. God will show you solutions. Every marriage is individual. God will show you the solutions that you need for your own marriage. And don't look at some of us have parents who model marriage very well, and then some of us have parents who never modeled marriage very well. So the best thing is just look to God. That's the best. And then if you see things that are good, that other people are doing, that are good, add that. But also add unto yourself virtues. So good virtues, add to yourself. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I got to stop there. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we're thankful to the Lord for the grace granted us to share this time with you. I pray and trust that it has been helpful and that the young ones take these things to heart and, now and then, read the book or listen to whatever it is that has been shared and let it speak to all of us. There are no relationships that are perfect, but we strive for better. Amen. Praise God.